Good afternoon. Thursday, January the 17th, 2019. 17 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program. Scott Spears along with you for the ride. Now, today, if you ever wanted to know anything about current events, you're going to get it on this program today, and I'm going to tell you about that in just a second. Do want to make this announcement, though, that the Mike Wilson Show, a new public affairs talk show, will premiere right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM on Monday, January 21st, 5:10 to 6 p.m., and air every Monday after that until sign-off. The Mike Wilson Show, every Monday, 5:10 to 6 p.m., public affairs talk show, starting January the 21st. Don't miss that. Now, today's program, there's so much to talk about. We are right now in the middle of historic times. The government is in the middle of the longest shutdown in federal history. Are we going to have a State of the Union address? We don't know. And if we do, we don't know how it will happen. Will it be in written form? Will it be in office? Will it be how it normally is, in chambers with everybody there? Collusion with Russia. Rudy Giuliani is on Chris Cuomo's show last night and makes a very interesting statement. Rudy Giuliani, of course, the president's counsel at this point. We'll talk about that. And the two people we have on today's program are the people you want to talk about it with so we can get all perspectives on this issue. Coming up next hour, 1:10, we're going to be joined by a frequent guest to this program, former writer, reporter for Newsweek. She's currently with the Daily Beast and is a longtime panelist on the television series The McLachlan Group, Eleanor Clift, next hour. And this hour, you want to talk about pioneers. You want to talk about people who put conservatism on the map. There could not be a President Trump, in my opinion, had there not been this man who shared his opinions and did not care what other people had to say. Before there was Rush Limbaugh, before there was Sean Hannity, before there was Bill O'Reilly, before there was Tucker Carlson, there was Barry Farber, and you can still hear Barry on the CRN Talk Network. Do yourself a favor, take a listen. I've been lucky enough to be on that show, and what a great pleasure it absolutely was and is. And it is a great pleasure to welcome to these microphones today to talk about all the stuff we have heretofore mentioned, Barry Farber. Barry, how are you?
Scott, that was such a lovely introduction. I can live for a month on an introduction like that. Thank you.
Barry, it's always good to hear from you. What interesting times we're living in.
They're even more interesting than they want us to know. They think it's all about government shutdown, longest in history, almost the longest in history, and now, hooray, longer than the previous longest in history. It is not about that. This is a calculated, frontal, no-holds-barred, take-no-prisoners attempt to destroy this presidency, to destroy Donald Trump and make sure he doesn't finish his first term. So when I come out in favor of his side, it is not a petty political decision. I think I am fighting for the will of the American people as expressed in the 2016 election.
Well, it's very interesting because for people who don't know, the reason the government is shut down at this point is President Trump would like $5.7 billion for a border wall on the southern border of the United States. Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and the Democrats will not give him anything more than a dollar at this point to do that. And that's why we've been shut down since before Christmas and continue to be shut down at this point. Now, my question, Barry, is we saw Republican President Ronald Reagan and Democratic Speaker Tip O'Neill compromise. We saw Republican Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich and President Bill Clinton compromise. We even saw Republican John Boehner compromise with President Obama. Why can we have no compromise now?
Well, because if the president were not to stand by his much often repeated program, campaign promise, to have a wall on the southern border, he would lose his base. He would be unelectable, as Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina says. It would be the end of his presidency. He must stand by his word. He must not yield. There are fringe, little fringe things that might be done, but you talk about the State of the Union. Nancy Pelosi is not recommending the postponing or the cancellation or the submitting of the State of the Union in writing. The State of the Union, it's as close as a royal outing in England. It's as close as we can get. All the birds and the beasts are there, the Supreme Court sitting there, nine in a row. There's so much pomp and circumstance and majesty and elegance. Nobody on the Democratic side yet wants Trump to have any of that. And before we even begin, there's one thing that we should get nailed to the door of the church, like Martin Luther did. How about making a point, Scott, that 5 years ago, that's not long in historical terms, 5 years ago, Pelosi, Schumer, Obama, Hillary Clinton, they all wanted this wall, funding and all. And now, not only are they against it, calling it immoral, but nobody on our side who can get close to them for an interview has the nerve to ask, hey, you were all for this, all of you, 5 years ago. What changed? The only thing that changed is Trump is now the president, and they insist not on his defeat, but on his destruction. And I voted for him, and I guess it's a very simple matter for me to be on that side. By the way, remember that how that little girl won our hearts during the Vietnam War, that four-year-old girl in Virginia who asked her father, what if they gave a war and nobody showed up? Well, let me tell you something. What if they gave a government shutdown and nobody noticed? This may bring about a sea change for good. The federal bureaucracy is famously overloaded. You could have between one-half and three-fourths of them not show up forever and not lose one little erg of government energy or one little millisquidgen of government accomplishment. I speak as someone who has been in the trenches with bureaucrats. When I was in the Army, gave me over to the NSA as a translator. But I was working with civilian bureaucrats. And here I was in my early 20s, but what a miserable impression I had. That is one area where maybe some severe cutting could take place. But just so you don't think I'm on the right wing on all issues all the time, there was a conservative professor appointed by Reagan. He wasn't a cabinet member, but he was like one little notch below. He was a deputy, whoop-de-doo, everything, in a very big agency. And he noticed what I noticed. We could do with half the personnel. And as a fiscal fighter, somebody who wanted to cut expenses, he told a friend of his, I am going to submit an RIF. That means a reduction in force, where you write to the government a note saying, we don't need this many workers. Guess what? He was accosted in the parking lot, not by the Washington Mafia, but by brother Republican Reaganites, who said, look, buddy, unless you forget about that RIF, you will never have a peaceful day for the rest of your term, and the rest of your term ain't going to last long. So there is such a tremendous lobby to lard the federal government with unnecessary workers. This is not to humiliate or to attack the Coast Guard, the Secret Service. Here, there, everywhere in this picture, there are people who legitimately earn their keep and should not be unemployed or at least unpaid. But watch what comes out of this. Look how well only a minuscule percentage of the American public realizes there is a shutdown.
Well, Barry, I think it's interesting because I think we're going to notice in about 2 weeks. Because I think one of the if this does go on long term, the FDA is not working at this point, so we don't know what the long term effects on nobody looking at the food will be. The air traffic controllers can't continue to operate without pay for long periods of time. And when February rolls around, that will be the first time that the first of the month rolls around with a month of no paychecks for these government employees. And will they be able to pay their rent? Will they be able to pay their mortgage? Will they be able to make their car payments? I think we'll see more of that in February. They've only missed one check at this point, but they'll miss two a week from tomorrow. Two is a lot bigger than one. And the other thing I would say about that is that the IRS, it's tax time, has just called back a huge amount of employees at zero pay. They're not going to continue to work for zero pay through April the 15th, would be my guess. And also, food stamps. Food stamps were paid out for February yesterday because we don't know what's going to happen after February. There'll be no money there for that into March. And what happens with those people? Those are the areas I think that we will see the longer this is shut down.
Scott, have your secretary type it and I'll sign it. Every jot and tittle of what you say is true. But tell me, why don't you tell it to the Democrats and begin by asking, hey, fellas, ladies and gentlemen, why don't you do now what you were so eager to do 5 years ago? What changed?
Well, I think that's the interesting point, because this is why I don't understand why there is no compromise. Because certainly, I don't think this is Trump shutdown. A lot of people say that. I don't believe that. I think there's blame on both sides. But I do think we have to look at the points that you made, that these people did want a wall at one point. But we've also got to be fair, and we've got to look at the other side. And over 200 times, I was lucky enough to be at the Republican convention in Cleveland in 2016, and every time President Trump said, we're going to build this wall, the crowd in unison said, and Mexico's going to pay for it. What happened to that?
Let me give you a litmus test right now. You are famous for your level-headed, calm, impartiality, umpire-type mentality, call it like you see it. Pretend I'm a petitioner coming to you for your judgment. Trump is now saying, hey, everybody, all of you who are saying, well, Mexico was going to pay, whatever happened, how come Mexico's not paying? You lied to us, Mexico's not paying. Trump said, I never said Mexico was going to write a check for $5 billion, for $10 billion, for 20 cents. I never said that. I said that what I meant was by virtue of the new trade deal, now that we got rid of that hateful, odious, miserable NAFTA, now that we have a new deal with Mexico, every single day we are harvesting money from Mexico, and sooner or later we will be able to say with a straight face, Mexico, thank you, you have paid for the wall. Now, is that a cop-out to you, or do you see logic in, I'll reduce it to one sentence, I never said Mexico was going to pull out a checkbook and write a check for $5 billion?
What I would say to that would be a question, because we're shutting down the government for this wall right now. And if everything you just said is true, Barry, that it was not Mexico is going to write a check, it is not Mexico is going to go into their wallet and hand us cash, that it's all going to come from the fall of NAFTA and the new trade agreement being put in, my question would be, if that is true, and this $5.7 billion, which really is more $20 billion to complete the wall, if that's true, if we're going to get $20 billion reaping the rewards of this new trade program, why not open the government, and when that money comes in, build the wall?
Take that last sentence again.
When that money starts to come in, and we can show that that money is coming into the federal government, and it comes in over $5.7 billion, which I would think it would, over the course of the next year, Trump still has another budget. He will approve the budget for January of 2020. Why not build the wall then?
Well, because, first of all, why delay? We've got problems on the border. And by the way, why compromise when you think that you are winning the wrestling match? The wise men, who frequently turn out to be wise guys, are telling us that, oh, by a tremendous margin, the American people blame Trump, blame the administration. I'm not so sure, but I am sure of one thing. The Democrat mantra right now is manufactured crisis. You've heard that before. I didn't make that up right now. Manufactured crisis. With one caravan under our belt and two more big ones on the way, how dare we, talk hosts, journalists, how dare we let them get away with saying this is a manufactured crisis?
Well, Barry, this brings me to the other point, because I am one of the people who I never thought Mexico was going to directly pay for this. I do believe, though, that people thought that, but I didn't think that, and I don't think you thought that either.
Of course not.
Okay, but here's the problem. This is the real question that I have, because I go with everything you just said, that let's say there is a crisis at the border. Let's say, why would we delay it another year? To get the money from the new trade agreement? Why put off what we can do today until tomorrow? The question I have to that is, President Trump took office January 20th, 2017. This is his third budget. January 2017 was his budget. January 2018 was his budget. And at that time, he had a Republican House and a Republican Senate, and he never put a penny in either of those budgets for that wall. Now, anybody with common sense would say that Nancy Pelosi would be less likely to give you the money for the wall than Paul Ryan would have been and his Republican Congress. Why did you never ask for a penny in 2017 or 2018, when it would have likely passed?
Well, I have been asked that identical question, extrasensory perception is not my strong suit. I can't read the president's mind. But I think he suddenly got the idea with the walls closing in. Don't forget, Scott, before the Democrats were his foe, he had to win over the Republicans. There was tremendous opposition to his ascendancy from his own party. And maybe he just had too many other priorities. Maybe the Mueller thing hadn't kicked in. He may have had several incentives, some large, some small, not to do it then and to do it now. But certainly I can't understand how our media is in such a shameful state when they won't even ask Senator Schumer, why not do now what you were so willing to do 5 years ago? They won't even ask that, much less hammer him and the others. That whole upper shelf of the Democratic Party wanted the wall. It was a given. It was a slam dunk, funding and all. And look at us now. Now they say the wall is immoral. Come on. When there's that much difference between your enemies and the truth, maybe you figure compromise is the wrong thing. Stick to your guns. Let the devil take the hindmost and hope that the pollsters are lying to us again.
Barry, I think that most people in this country would say that the news channels, and a lot of the news we get, are not really news channels. You have one channel that's pro-Trump, you have one channel that's anti-Trump, and I notice that every time, and we've got one channel that's for Trump some of the time and against him some of the other time. And I notice this, you would have to be blind not to notice, there are hurricanes going on, and that's in a little box at the corner of the screen, but yet what's going on with Trump that day is the major part of the screen. But I think the question is, it's hard to declare urgency for a wall when you've had two budgets pass by. It's hard to make that claim, I think.
Well, maybe they are incentivized by the caravans. Now, look at the caravans. What a cynical, transparent attempt to cause difficulty to America and particularly the Donald Trump administration. Who finances? Where is our media, Scott? Who finances these caravans? Who does the work getting the word around? Hey, come on, one and all, we're going to march toward the United States. We're going to cross over, and they won't be able to stop us. We'll have a better life. And the toll taken upon these innocent people who've been lied to by the coyotes, who make money like $7,000 to take you from Guatemala through Mexico into the United States. The border has heated up. I'm interested in your question, and it may well be that there are no solid reasons why there was no budget item for it then.
Well,
but there certainly is a call for it now, and I have decided to be part of that call. I think the president should have his wall. Walls work. I'm very close to the state of Israel, my emotional favorite. Nothing special about that. I favor all democracies, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Holland, Belgium, France. I love democracies. I wish them more power. And when Trump hauls off and says, let's get out of NATO, believe me, I go into deep political depression. So I'm just hopeful that there will be a crack. Matter of fact, I heard that word used for the first time 25 minutes before you and I went on the air, cracks in the Democratic ranks, namely Steny Hoyer, a congressman from Maryland. Let's see.
Well, Barry, I think one of the problems is we have just went through both sides' reasoning here. We have just went through the entire Trump presidency. But really, all of that is a moot point. The government is shut down currently, longer than it ever has been. We discussed what the fallout is going to be after the 1st of February if it is not opened back up. So here we are. President Trump, as you aptly put in the beginning of this program, cannot get off the $5.7 billion because he will lose his base. Now, conversely, I would say that Nancy Pelosi cannot give him more than a dollar for this wall, because then they'll say she's weak, she's the Cortezes in the Republic or the Democratic Party, the new young breed are going to hit her and say she's not the person, she can't stand tall against Trump, she's fearful of losing her position. So we've got two people here who have positions, Pelosi and Trump. We've got two people who are scared to death of losing their positions. Why can't we meet at $2.5 billion? Why is there absolutely no negotiation? I think
I'm cheering you wildly. I would love nothing better, but Nancy Pelosi calls the wall, get this, immoral. I wonder if she said that about the Berlin Wall.
Well, it's interesting because I thought the meeting last week was shameful for the American public, because you had the president walk in and say, are you going to give me my wall? Nancy Pelosi said no, end of meeting. Now, that's how government's supposed to work?
Scott, for a long time, the American government has not worked well. You noted what lines came from Trump that elicited great applause. It was not only let's build a wall and Mexico will pay. That was not the only line that brought the crowd to their feet, storming, clapping. Very, very happy to hear that. The nature of the government. Why are we still defending Europe the way we were when World War II ended and we were the only country on its feet? Our enemies were obliterated, but our friends were too. Britain was no longer an empire. All of Western Europe was aching. And America said, well, we can, and therefore we must. But that was 1945. Look at the calendar. It's now 2019. And there's still that mentality, sure, we're going to pay, oh, we're going to have a meeting in Brussels, all the sisters are fair and all the brothers are valiant. I rejoice in exactly what you condemn. I love the fact that all that, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, put on a happy face, and let's continue to screw the American public. I was glad to see Donald Trump do what they do in Israel. Start at the end. Nancy, are you going to give me my wall? No. Goodbye. End of meeting. Let's not waste each other's time. So you and I have different values. I like to think that if you knew what government is like from the inside, you would rejoice in this all of a sudden pop-up, stand-up resistance to the way it's been going on, and enter the era of Trump, where they start at the end and don't give up until it's finished.
It's okay to operate that way. People are allowed to operate in any way they want. But I think the problem is that half of the people heard of that meeting and said just what you said. They said, go get 'em, Trump. This is the age of Trump. Now, I will bet that next hour, Eleanor Clift will say Nancy Pelosi was the first person to stand up to him and said, no, you're not getting this wall, and she was in the right. And who suffers in that? The American people suffer in that. We can all have opinions. Eleanor Clift's, I'm sure, will be very different from yours, Barry. And both of you are very earnest and honest in your opinions, but that doesn't get the government opened back up.
And why don't you ask her what changed? Why were the Democrats at their topmost levels? Why were the favor of the wall for funding and all, And now, all of a sudden, that is immoral. What changed? I can't think of a good lie that would help them. The truth is certainly blazing right before our eyes. It is now a way to get Donald Trump. That's their agenda. None other agenda need apply. That's what they're fixated on. I wonder if she'll of course she'll deny it, but I'd love to know what she's saying.
Well, Barry, one thing that confuses me about this, and this goes back to what I was saying about basically, as far as news channels go, all we have is the Trump channels now. One for, one against, and one 50-50. Here's the problem. What nobody is reporting on to any great deal is Pelosi is allowed to have her opinion, and the Congress is not going to vote for this wall. They've already voted it down. The president is allowed to have his opinion as the executive branch of government, and he says he's not going to budge off of it. But what nobody is reporting, the president has not vetoed the budget. The reason the president hasn't vetoed the budget is because Mitch McConnell has not put the budget on the floor of the Senate yet. Now, the question I want to ask Mitch McConnell is, it is fine if you put that, the Senate is still very Republican. A matter of fact, it's more Republican now than it was before the last election.
By 2 seats.
By 2 seats. So my question to him is, why won't you put it on the floor? If the Republicans don't want it, it won't pass the Senate. The bill will be dead, the budget, and Donald Trump will not have to veto it because it'll never get to him. But why won't he even put that budget on the floor of the Senate?
Well, I think it's the other side of the same coin. Trump doesn't dare disappoint his base on this one. Mitch McConnell doesn't want to give Nancy Pelosi's side the appearance of a win, certainly not in the current climate. I have no wisdom on that. I don't know why, Democrats will come to their senses and let that crack widen, and let Trump deserves this victory. I mean, pretend you're a Norwegian, and it's not your business at all. Looking at the players and looking at the play, I think a fair-minded person would say Trump deserves his wall. Look, he came up from nowhere. Nobody thought of him as a politician. He was a big joke until he knocked out 17 top-notch Republican contenders. He put the embassy in the Israeli embassy, not in Tel Aviv anymore, but in Jerusalem. He has done so many good things. Trump deserves that wall, and he does not deserve to be unseated because he has to compromise on the wall before the nation just becomes like an Alka-Seltzer tablet under Niagara Falls and fizzes away.
Barry, people are allowed to have that opinion, and the president's allowed, but I go back to the question. The reason we are a tricameral government, the reason we have a House and a Senate and an executive branch, are so no one branch gets total power. And it does puzzle me that the House did take a vote on the budget without the wall in it, and it did pass the House. Now, that's no shock because the House is Democrat. But the process is, and the process has been since the beginning, that once the bill passes the House, it goes to the Senate. And then the Senate votes. Now, if the Senate passes it, then it goes to the president for a signature. The president does have the right to veto that bill. Then it goes back to the House and the Senate, and if they can get a two-thirds majority, they can overturn his veto. That's the American government. Mm-hmm. Why that bill in a Republican branch of government is not even being put on the floor, I think is a huge problem in this whole mess, because if it's because it will pass the Senate, a Republican Senate, then that's wrong.
Are you talking about the budget?
Right. Is Mitch McConnell worried that a budget that has passed the House with no wall money in it will pass his Republican Senate? Is that why he's not putting it on the floor?
Possibly. Possibly. But everybody says, look, where Trump had the White House, the House, the Senate, and couldn't get anything done. I think he got a lot done, but a lot of people like to say he couldn't get anything done. Just this is America. This is not the Soviet Union. You know, they had elections in the Soviet Union. They didn't have much betting on elections outcomes, but they had elections. We have elections here, maybe Trump deserves a break. Maybe some people think he doesn't. I think he deserves us. Now, he does not deserve to be unseated because of this. Now, maybe when the Mueller report comes out, there will be reason to change our minds if we now support Trump. I doubt it. I can't imagine what's taken that report so long. And before I forget, you talk about three cable news channels, one for Trump, one against, and one 50-50. I presume Fox is the one you say is for Trump. Which is the one that's for sometimes and against sometimes?
Well, I would certainly say MSNBC is against. Now, people will argue with the CNN being for or against, but that will bring us to our next subject. A man who appeared on CNN last night, who I guarantee would not appear on MSNBC, was President Trump's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, appeared on Chris Cuomo last night. And the quote from Rudy Giuliani last night, and maybe he was flustered, I don't know. But what he said on the Cuomo show last night live, and I have to say I did watch it live last night, President Trump's lawyer said that he never said there was no collusion with the campaign and Russia. There was no collusion. He never said that there was not collusion with the Trump campaign and Russia, meaning there could be collusion with the Trump campaign and Russia. Now, he did say, in the issue of fairness here, he doesn't think the president knew about it, but he said his chief legal counsel at this point, along with Jay Sekulow, President Trump went on national television last night and said, I never said there was not collusion with Russia and the Trump campaign. What do you make of that, Barry?
Trump has said many times there was no collusion. I'm surprised that Giuliani, and by the way, I'm surprised that has not been picked up. I'm surprised I haven't heard that yet on Fox today. Giuliani said there was collusion?
No, what Giuliani said last night, he said, I never said that there was not collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia.
I get it.
Yeah, he went on.
No.
Yeah.
Other people have said something that and close to that and emphasized that Trump didn't know about it.
Right, but if there was, even if Trump didn't know about it, and maybe he didn't, I mean, we have to be fair, if there was collusion between the campaign and Russia, that's a problem.
Well, it depends what kind of collusion. If the America is the most attention-getting country in the world. If people say, hey, America, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? I understand why somebody could get that impression. But come on, If a Norwegian or a Dane or a Swede walks into your campaign headquarters, you give them a cup of coffee, you sit them down, you let them write a story if he's a journalist. Is that collusion? Is fraternization always collusion? What is collusion?
I think the question that was asked of Mr. Giuliani last night that brought this answer was, Paul Manafort, on July 16th, 2016, when he was the campaign chairman of the Trump campaign, gave polling data, internal polling data, to the Russian government. I think that's the question. And his lawyers, Manafort's lawyers, have even, that's how that got in the public, was because they did not redact that from their statement that Paul Manafort, while he was President Trump's campaign manager on July 16th, 2016, gave Trump polling data to the Russians, people who worked for the Kremlin.
Wait a minute. Okay. Let's be realistic here. Pick a country, any country. Hungary. I can see Hungary saying, this guy Trump looks like he might be a new force in American politics, very conservative. Let's ask our people over there to find out. So the Hungarian embassy gets a call from Budapest, and somebody calls the Trump campaign and says, we would like to send one of our diplomats over and have a conversation, get to know you and your campaign a little better. And then they meet, and the Hungarian says, well, how are you doing so far? If the Republican shows him the polling numbers, is that collusion?
Well,
to me, that's the normal common courtesy that you extend to people, in this case, foreign diplomats and journalists, in a campaign.
Well, let me do what a journalist should do here. What do you think Rudy Giuliani was talking about last night?
I am very disturbed by that. It sounds like a retreat. Why are they retreating? Do they know something about the Mueller report that we don't? It sounds like somebody, you know, walking the cat back. Giuliani has been very good on offense. His mantra up to now has been, there was no collusion, and hey, if there were, what the heck? It's no crime.
And it changed last night for some reason. And I say, for people who didn't see it, I think it will be on the news channels and in the newspaper today. The quote was from Giuliani live on the Cuomo show, I never said that there was no collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia.
Well, I salute you for seizing on that. That is very newsworthy, if you've got it all right, and you have a good reputation for getting things right. I don't know, but I can't wait to find out. By the way, Fox may tilt away from Trump. That is what I get from people high enough and inside enough to be taken seriously.
Barry, I do have a question for you. One more question about this government shutdown, because this has been the long-term fear, I think, that let's say Nancy Pelosi caved in and gave Trump the money for the wall.
Okay.
One day, we are going to have a Democratic president again. That's just the way these things go.
Right.
And let's say that Democratic president feels that medical care or college debt is a national emergency. And they want money put in the budget to let everybody go to college for free. And they want money put in the budget to totally fund health care, single payer, which we do not have now. And a Republican Speaker of the House says, I'm not going to do that. And they shut down the government until they get their money. That's the fear.
That's known as the slippery slope fear. Sometimes it's valid. Sometimes it's not. I would certainly hate to see America try to govern itself that way. Something tells me after this is over, there will be internal walls in the consciences of every legislator militating against something like this ever happening again. In other words, I think it'll be the opposite of the slippery slope. I think it'll be, don't step here, you might slide.
Barry, in all honesty, I know you're an honest man. You have your opinions, but you're honest. When February hits and the food stamp money does not appear, and people can't make their mortgage payments, and it's been 6 weeks since the FDA has done anything, and some maybe IRS people start looking for other jobs because they haven't been paid, who blinks first? Who's going to blink first in this thing? Trump or the Democrats? Or is McConnell finally going to blink and say, I'm going to put it to the floor? You've been around politics a long time. How do you see this ending? Because it's going to end.
Well, I think before that, Trump will invoke national emergency and have the military build a wall. There'll be tremendous legal pushback on that, but from what I hear, he has the right to do that.
I think a lot of
he doesn't want to, obviously, but I think he'll do that before he'll cave in.
I think a lot of people, to be honest with you, I think if you put that up in the way you just framed it, Trump declares national emergency, lawsuits are filed immediately, and the Supreme Court makes a decision on if the wall will be built or not with emergency money, I think that would have a 90% approval rating among people in this country because it would get the government back open, people would be back to work, the economy would be okay, and Trump might get the wall, might not get the wall, depending on the Supreme Court. I think that would have a 90% approval rating. What do you think?
Wow. Oh, you would be a superstar in the halls of the White House right this minute.
Because I think even Democrats would say, well, they're not going to give him the wall. And I think Trump would say they will. But it at least would get the government back open, which I think is what a lot of people want right now.
Wow. What a... I really hope that you're prophesying and not just speculating.
Barry Farber can be heard on CRN Talk Network. Do yourself a favor and listen. Barry, it's always a pleasure to be on your show, and I'm always delighted when you come on this show. It's always an interesting conversation that I leave with more information than I came to it with, and that's always a good thing.
Scott, I second the emotion in manifold dimension. You are a treasure. You are a delight. I love to have you on my show. I enjoy coming on yours, and we write on this, therefore, not to end, but always to be continued.
Barry, stay well. Talk with you soon.
To be continued.
Bye-bye.
Eleanor Cliff coming up in 10 minutes.
Competition to our Marion Youth, 740-382-45.
This is Phil Reed, and you can